All right, Andrew, the 90s was totally a golden age of television. I gotta ask you, what show defines the 90s for you?
I mean, Seinfeld, Friends, Melrose Place, but really, it was Beverly Hills 90210.
No, you're gonna have to go change. Brenda, I am a spring princess. I thought you guys were my friends.
I mean, duh, right? So today, we are taking you back to September 9th, 1991. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was at the theaters.
The sheriff calls us outlaws, but I say we are free.
We were totally listening to Motown Philly by Boyz II Men. I mean, I was probably more listening to Good Vibrations by Marky Mark.
Feel the vibration.
And on the cover of People magazine, we anointed the cast of Beverly Hills 90210 as TV's hottest teens.
I'm so excited because we're going to get to hear from Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
That was fun. You guys asked us some questions we've never been asked.
I love that they're still so close.
And I loved that they turned the interview into a personal happy hour.
More than one glass of wine was consumed during the making of this podcast.
Cheers, girls.
Anyway, I'm Jason Cheeler, Deputy West Coast Editor at People Magazine.
And I'm Andrea Labenthal, Style and Beauty Director at People Magazine.
And this is People in the 90s, where each week we dive deep into an issue of People Magazine from the best era ever. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Jason.
So we are going to talk about September 9th, 1991, but I'm going to tease you with the idea that we never graduate. Because, you know, like they, as they say, like life is a little more like a high school cafeteria than we care to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And out in LA, they also like to say that Hollywood is really just high school with money, right? So these axioms totally come together with a little show called Beverly Hills 90210. Yep.
Just in case we can't afford the rights to the song, I just wanted to make sure the theme song got in there.
But I have a feeling you're going to agree with me when I say that when Brandon Walsh enrolled at West Beverly, like an entire generation did too, right? I mean, our generation anyway, if I can reveal that we're totally Gen Xers. But like, I can safely say that People Magazine is completely responsible for this show becoming a hit because we put it on our cover as season two was getting going. But like, it wasn't even a hit when it started. And like, a lot of things could have gone wrong. Luke Perry was only supposed to be on two episodes. Alyssa Milano almost played Brenda. I mean, angels were watching out for us.
They were.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. September 9th, 1991. The cover was TV's Hottest Teens featuring Brandon, Jason Priestley, Brenda, Shannon Doherty, and Dylan, Luke Perry. And people put it on the map. Even if you think the premise is ridiculous and the storylines are soap opera-y and the teens are so perfect looking, even though they weren't all teens, you know, this is the it show.
And what's, you know, for those of you that don't know the whole story between 90210, I'll be very brief, but it came together as a result of one of the most prolific TV producers of all time. That would be Mr. Aaron Spelling. He created Charlie's Angels, the Love Boat Dynasty. And then also a guy who was 27 at the time was co-creator of the show, a Mr. Darren Star, who we know went on to do Melrose Place, Sex and City, Younger, Emily in Paris most recently. Because back in 1990, there had been no primetime shows, which were soap operas really, created for and revolved around teenagers. Of course, by the time the 90s ended, we had Party of Five, all those shows. But 90210, I think, if I can be lofty here for a second.
Loft away.
I'm going to loft away. It's like a 70s after school special set within the 80s universe of Knott's Landing, just with Color Me Bad songs, right? Remember the concerts at the Peach Pit?
Obviously.
I mean, there's like homework and champagne and hot tubs and nose jobs and like valet parking at school, but there's also curfews. Like it was a lot. I mean, let's be honest, like the plot holes are bigger than Brian Austin Green's hoop earrings.
Ooh, burn. Like,
but I mean, we talk a lot about disruption today, right? Like, you know, there's like all these companies that are disrupting, you know, the way we travel or buy handbags or, you know, anything. Everyone's a disruptor. But Darren Star completely upended and disrupted the TV system because after season one was not doing so well, they decided to air summer episodes. And so new episodes were rolling out all summer when guess who was like sitting at home doing nothing? Me, except going to like marching band practice.
Mm-hmm. For me, that I remember that season, that summer. And what was cool about it is you felt like you were almost watching your, you know, friends during the summer do whatever they were doing. And then you went back to school with them in the fall. Mm. So while all the other shows were on hiatus, 90210 was just foot on the gas. And we were along for the ride. And then by the time it came back, it was like had this huge viewership. And of People magazine cover. And part of the lore of 90210, as it began to grow in popularity and get more media attention, was what was going on also behind the scenes. These were young actors who were relatively unknown, and they were behaving like teenagers on the set. And the storylines on TV were just as juicy as what was going on behind the scenes. Mm. I remember being so shocked as a young gal that the real life actors and actresses weren't actually their characters. Because when you're young and you're watching shows like this and you're so invested, you don't really think about them in real life. And then they got this level of notoriety with, you know, being on the cover of People and all of the little magazines I subscribed to at the time, Teen and Bop and all that. And all of a sudden you start learning things and you're like, huh? What? And this is from our article. I'm going to read you our little thing about Jason Priestley. It's good.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Tell me.
Jason Priestley, 22, plays Brandon Walsh, a model of thoughtful level-headedness. In real life, however, the brown-haired, blue-eyed star who started acting in commercials at age 4 and played an orphan on that very nice NBC sitcom Sister Kate is no Oliver Twist. Woo! He likes dirt bikes, bungee jumping, and is a chain smoker. In parens, just about the whole cast puffs it up, but not on camera.
Huh. Stop.
I was heartbroken. You smoke?
But there are, you know, there are lessons to be learned from 90210. And that's like something, the after school special part, I think is so funny today. Like the slow music and the like little piano outro in the show. And it's like, what are some of the favorite lessons you learned? Like Jason Priestley's, you know, quote, I swear to God, I wrote this in other people's yearbooks the year I graduated. There are worse things in life, like not following your passion. Like that. That was like my meme before there were memes. What were some of like the most outlandish or actually lessons you really learned from 90210?
I mean, there are so many. First of all, no diet pills. Okay. Diet pills, they're going to get you nowhere but on the floor of the peach pit on your 16th birthday. That's where you're going to be, or 17, whatever. I don't know how old Kelly was, but like if you're voted best looking, which she was, or most beautiful, the pressure to uphold that title is going to lead you to diet pills. So I should have been actually grateful that I wasn't even nominated for that in high school. And I won, shockingly, most talkative.
Okay.
Anyway, that was one. Listen, I think we learned hugs, not drugs. Okay. Like anytime drugs come into play in the 90210 world, something bad's going to happen. Whether it's, you know, Dylan, they really made Dylan a serious drug addict and alcoholic from day one. He was the first person I knew in AA. Okay. He was probably the reason why I knew what AA was. And they did take it seriously, his sobriety.
The intervention at the Walsh house.
Right. And then later they have him doing heroin. Donna even dabbles in drugs. I forgot about this, but she starts taking like roofies or something and like hugs, not drugs.
Oh, yeah. I was like a founding member of the drug-free society at Arkadelphia High School.
Good for you.
All because of 90210.
And you had friends, or no?
I had a few. I had a few friends.
I mean, the marching band doesn't count, Jason. They had to be at practice with you. I'm sorry. This is so mean. So mean. I'm sorry. I'm not a bully.
Okay. So for those of you who are still with us and have never watched 90210, I have like a wild idea. I happen to know that our very own Andrea has watched every single episode of Beverly Hills 90210. That's 10 seasons over 10 years. She recently watched all of it during her maternity leave.
Yes, my last maternity leave when I had my daughter. The show is bananas. Okay. The early years are more earnest and then it just gets bananas. And there's so many things I bet you forgot, Jason, like seasons that should never have existed. But still, I would do it all over again. Not the kid, but the rewatch.
Well, so I hope you're up for the challenge. I think you're up for the challenge. You have to sum up every season of 90210 in one sentence. You've got one sentence.
Okay.
Season one.
Welcome to the BH, bitch.
Oh, okay.
We learned what BNJ was before a nose job. Brent and Kelly wore the same dress to the spring fling. Another life lesson. Always check with your friend before you just show up for pictures. And the most important event of the season, Brenda lost her virginity. to Dylan.
So season two, one sentence.
Breaking up is hard to do. Branda got the job at the Beverly Hills Beach Club. He meets Emily when they go back to school. She's the new girl in town. They're really into each other. They go to the club. And then she sets the float on fire by accident.
Season three.
Donna Martin, model/activist.
Oh.
This is the season when Donna and Brenda went to Paris. That's when Kelly and Dylan hooked up, which gave us the epic line, "I hate you both, never talk to me again." And then Kelly discovered the diet pills.
Season four.
I called this one Bye Bye Brenda because this was Brenda's last season. Do you believe she was only in four seasons? The Brenda years. Brenda went to University of Minnesota, hated it, gets arrested for her involvement with breaking into a lab where they may or may not be experimenting on animals. They were not. And she stars in the campus production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, which then leads her to move to London to pursue her acting career. Do you remember any of that?
I'm dizzy. Are we on season five yet?
Yeah. I mean, this is a podcast in itself, so I understand this is all going to be edited out. Season five. How do you talk to an angel? Really important stuff, right?
Hey, y'all, it's Jason. So sidebar, it turns out that there's like so much crazy stuff happened on 90210.
Kelly gets burns in a fire.
That it's like, it's never going to happen that she's going to be able to describe each season with just one sentence, which was like her total instructions. Keep it to one sentence.
Kelly gets shot in the abdomen.
So if we left in each synopsis, the episode would be like, I mean, like 45 hours long.
And she wakes up with amnesia.
Okay, so we're going to fast forward to the end. But trust me, if you want to get all the scoop on 90210, listen to Tori and Jeannie's podcast, 90210MG. So back to the show.
But not before a homeless man dies outside her store and her father dies of a stroke. The end.
Well, so truly, we never graduated.
This is everything. There's nothing left on the dance floor. I left it all.
All right, joining us today, we have Jeannie Garth and Tori Spelling, who played, of course, Kelly Taylor and Donna Martin.
Most important women in my life at that time.
I'd say we would all call them friends and classmates. And here's the thing. When they started on the show, Jeannie was 18, Tori was 17, and the two of them were in every single season of the show, which stretched the entire decade, 1990 to 2000.
That's so crazy. I can't believe it was 10 years.
What I love about these two is they played best friends on the show. They're still best friends today.
Oh my God. They must have so many good secrets.
Well, with that in mind, let's hear from Tori and Jeannie now. Well, Tori and Jeannie, thank you so much again for talking to us today. Welcome to People in the 90s.
Thank you.
And I have to tell you, for both Andrea and myself, speaking to you two, we're at the top of our list. And I have a fill-in-the-blank question for you both I'd love for you to answer. And Tori, we can start with you. When I think of life in the 90s, the first thing I think of is...
I mean, the first thing I think of is 90210. That represented my whole decade. You know, all of my memories were behind the scenes and on camera were the 90s. It was such a pivotal, formative decade for me. Like, Jen and I grew up on television during the 90s.
And Jeannie, what about you?
For me, the first thing that popped into my mind was work, hard work. Like, we were working like machines the whole decade. And that seems so insane. But like, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., get up tomorrow and do it again, you know?
So we were talking, Jason and I, and we were wondering, what's like the most surreal moment you can remember of that time? Just that you look back, you still can't believe that happened.
The whole thing is a little bit of a blur. Uh-huh. It's just like what Jen's saying is true. Like, you know, we were in our late teens and then friends start going off to college and going to parties and we just lived it on TV. And it was like we were working really, really hard. But I think it was great. It really set us up for life. We're super driven because of it. But surreal moments, mm-hmm. I guess when like everyone started fanning out over us, mostly we remember like the boys. They would like go crazy for the boys. And we were like, they're dreamy, but like we are with them every day. So it was very different to see how girls would freak out.
I can remember one of the pivotal moments for me was I was on an appearance with Luke. They had sent us, I think it was Fresno, to do an appearance at a zoo. And it sort of summed it up for me because I felt like a zoo animal. Right. And I was in the zoo. It was just weird. And then it got too crazy and people were rushing the zoo cages and we had to go out through one of the enclosures of the animals. I don't remember the monkeys or something, but I just remember them actually putting us in a cage at the zoo. And oh, I was like, this feels good.
Right. Wait, they put you in a cage to protect you guys?
To get us out. Yeah, like go through this cage to get out the back way.
I mean, that's like metaphors wrapped in meta, wrapped in metaphors. I mean, it's...
What an answer. I don't think anyone else is going to be able to beat that.
I truly gasped. I mean, that takes us to my next question is, what was the moment you knew you were famous?
I remember mine because I was at a shopping mall. I think it was the Sherman Oaks Galleria, and going down an escalator and people were screaming Donna. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's weird. That's my character's name. And I was like, whoa, I'm famous.
Whoa, I'm famous.
Jenny, do you have a moment?
Yeah, I think for me, it was when Mattel made dolls that look like us. That was like, for me, like a big, what is happening moment. I remember opening the magazines and seeing those behind the scenes shots and thinking, oh my God, that's us. That's me in that picture in this magazine. And just, it was just mind blowing.
Yeah. I was Googling like a ton of 90210 pictures and the ones from like the first 5 or so years, you can't really find a lot. It was just like the very little that was in magazines was in People magazine.
So Tori, I have to ask you about the Donna Martin Graduates episode, which of course is what's on my t-shirt right now, as you can see. And for our listeners who may need a refresher, this is from the end of season 3. Donna learns that she may not be able to graduate after she gets drunk and passes out at the prom. You know, critics have hailed it as like one of the best episodes of the show. And it was like so thoroughly plotted out. Why do you think it's held up as, you know, in pop culture fandom as a moment?
I don't know. Because when we did that episode, I don't think any of us thought it would be like that memorable episode, or maybe I thought that because it was my storyline. So I'm like, this can't possibly like be something that'll be standout. But I mean, I feel like it really showed the group coming together to support each other and support one of their own and going all the way with it.
Tell Superintendent Epphart that summer school registration is going to break the record this year.
Donna Martin graduates.
Donna Martin graduates.
Donna Martin graduates.
Donna Martin graduates.
I think people relate to that because, I don't know, I'm just glad it was mine. Like, people still come up to me weekly, are like, Donna Martin. They asked me to say it, which it's funny because I never actually said it.
No.
It was all the friends, but I still do it. I'm like, Donna Martin graduates. did you say it?
Donna Martin graduates.
We had our own version of it, but it wasn't graduate.
That is true.
We heard that rumor.
That Priestley was making everyone say Donna Martin masturbates.
I don't know if it was, I'm not going to pin it on any one person. It was all of us. We're all guilty in this. Yeah. Well, we had just been saying it so many times over and over and we were getting bored. So we were just, you know, spicing it up.
It makes it fun. Were the two of you clicky? Because I feel like the two cute blondes who hit it off immediately as a natural brunette, I'm feeling a little triggered.
Oh no, I don't want to trigger you.
Triggered.
No. I feel like
in the respect that we were isolated together, me, Tori, Shannon, and Gabrielle for the very beginning and first couple few years, and we were a clique, if that's what you want to call it. We had no choice in the matter. We were sequestered together all the time, so of course we became very close.
Don't feel bad for brunettes. Shannon was totally the leader, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, she was right in there.
So. And going back to 1990, and the first time our magazine was writing about the show, and Tori, so much was made about, you know, your last name and Tori and spelling. But you and Jenny are two of the only people who stayed on the show the entire time. And so I'm curious, like, what point did you feel like Tori and not Tori spelling? At what point did you feel like you had, like, you know, mm-hmm. you'd earned your seat there, that you were, like, you know, super solid because you stuck it out and became one of the fan favorites?
I still don't. I still have a hard time. Like, it's the one thing in my like career that still stays with me is I can't get over. We were just talking about this, that I can't get over the Tori and the spelling. And it was my dad's show. And yeah, I still don't feel like I deserve it. Don't feel worthy of being there. I still think about it that way. It's hard for me to separate and be like, no, I earned it. Like Donna Martin, I got the part because of my dad, but like I created that character over those 10 years. It's still hard for me to separate it.
So Tori Spelling still has imposter syndrome like all of us.
Very much so.
I mean, like 5 or 6 New York Times bestselling books, you're still kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's bad.
You know, it's interesting. Earlier, when we were talking about Donna Martin graduates, Jenny, you said, you know, everyone came around the character. And we were actually talking, Jason and I, wondering in real life, when there's been, you know, tragedies, you had a death of Luke Perry that was horrible and Shannon had her illnesses. Like, do you come together like that in real life? Is like the text chain activated, yeah. Just like your family?
100%.
Yeah, the bond that we all have with one another is so unique and so strong and so genuine. You know, it came before anything else, before any of our wild and crazy lives now. So it's like the foundation of who we are as people, and we'll always be there for each other.
100%. Yeah, we have a text group chat that is wild that people would be shocked to see. It's just so like where we all regress to our like teen selves when we talk to each other. It's just fun.
Who sends the dirty memes?
I'm going to guess Zering.
If anyone were to do that, it would be Ian. He's got a great sense of humor.
That was an easy guess. You know, there are the characters on 90210. You know, is a Darren Star show. And so before we were like, are you a Carrie or a Miranda? You know, it's like, were you a Kelly or a Brendan or a Donna? You know, and there's so much at the time, as we talked about, so much gossip and intrigue and palace intrigue about the show. How much of that offset and even like third party dialogue about y'all, how much of that shaped our thinking and perception about the characters on the show, do you think?
I feel like we always say, like, did the writers have hidden cameras? Because, you know, it started out with very specific characters they had written. But, you know, fans of the show will notice that as the characters progress through the seasons, they really, truly turn into a lot of us off camera. Things that we were interested off camera in, or we would be talking and telling stories like this happened or I did this. Hmm. Suddenly that would be a part of our character. So they definitely kept watch, we think, of like who was friends and what happened, and storylines progressed, you know, depending on that. I'm a Brenda, by the way. We took the quiz.
Oh, same. I am too. Same.
What were you, Jen?
I was a Kelly. You were.
Do you guys think that the treatment of Shannon in the press, you know, looking back on it, it was fair?
No, because people didn't really know what was going on. I mean, like, there wasn't, you know, paparazzi everywhere we went. There weren't people posting things on social media platforms. So it was all just starting. So it was all hearsay. And a lot of it was wrong. And it took on a life of its own that ultimately, I think, affected her character. Because Brenda was, you know, so wholesome. And then everyone, you know, the I Hate Brenda Club started.
Well, you know that when you get a storyline about trying to free animals from the testing lab, like, you piss somebody off. Come on. Somebody's mad. But it's funny. I was reading in the article, and I mean, again, this is from 1991 in People, but we talk about how she was accused of being a spoiled brat. And she gave this incredible quote that if this was now, everyone would be applauding her. But back then, it was so like controversial to speak out like this. But she says, everyone gets in a bad mood. You do not work 16-hour days and not start feeling it. I've never thrown a tantrum. I've gotten upset on the set, but it's never been just to be a bitch. You have to stand up for yourself in this business. That was something I was told when I was 12 years old by Michael Landon. So right now, we'd all be like, you know, women supporting women. But yeah, back then, everyone was like,
female empowerment.
I always had immense respect for Shannon's strength because she's an Aries. I'm an Aries. Like, I get it. Like, she is just a really strong person, and she's not ashamed of that. And That's how we should all be.
Yeah.
So I rewatched the entire series from start to finish during my maternity leave.
Really?
And I was shocked at how forward-thinking it was back then. I don't even think I realized when I was that young watching it, like HIV and gun control.
Homophobia, animal rights, alcoholism, drug abuse, domestic violence, anti-Semitism, racism, teenage suicide.
Stalkers.
Teenage pregnancy, AIDS, sex, date rape.
Can you repeat that, please?
Oh, eating disorders.
I gained 2 pounds yesterday and I didn't eat anything. Something is definitely wrong with me.
Nothing is wrong with you. It's probably just water.
All right, we've got two quick fun games to play with you. And the first one Andrea is going to do, we're going to play a little this or that.
Quick and easy. You can both answer. 90s trend. Scrunchies or chokers, ladies?
She wants the choker. I want the scrunchie.
I love that. This is almost like the newlywed game.
Yeah, I know what you... Let's see if you know what I'm going to say.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. 90s blockbuster movie, Forrest Gump or Titanic?
She's going to say Forrest Gump.
Oh, wow.
I love that they turned it into the newlywed.
Yeah.
So cute. Well, Tori, which is yours? Are you Titanic?
Titanic.
Yeah.
I saw it 4 times in the theater, cried every time.
Best Peach Pit performance, Cardigan's Love Fool or Donna Lewis, I Love You Always Forever?
I'm going to say she doesn't have a favorite because she doesn't remember either of them.
I'm going to say You're a Filthy Liar. I know both of them, but you're going to say Cardigans. And I'm like, I love you always, forever, near and far.
Exactly. That's how I did.
See, that's why I love Tori Spelling. That's my favorite 90s song.
Okay, this one's a little controversial. So, you know, buckle up.
Uh-oh.
Kelly and Brandon or Kelly and Dylan?
Ooh. Who am I going to pick?
She's kind of split down the middle, but she's going to go with Kelly and Dylan.
Yeah.
Wow. You just blew me out of the water.
I feel the same.
Oh, and Tori agrees. Mm-hmm.
I thought that you were going to say Kelly Taylor's iconic, I Choose Me, a feminist before we even were onto the trend.
I know. That was a cool line, and it's so relevant now.
I just remember watching it and being like, will two boys ever fight over me? So I can say I choose me, but probably not.
You can say it anyway. Say it every day. I choose me.
You guys know you want her to say it.
Well, I'm dying to hear Jenny say I choose me.
I choose me. Definitely.
Oh my God. What a get. We got Donna Martin Graduates and I Choose Me. Like incredible. Okay. We're going to play a little senior superlatives. This is like, you know, the cast. It's like off screen, but it can also include guest stars. It's not limited to the core cast. So senior superlatives, best looking.
Well, that's going to be Dylan.
Luke Perry.
So Luke Perry, best looking. Yeah. Smartest.
Andrea Zuckerman.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are we doing the character or
real life?
Real life, oh, in real life.
Okay, Gabrielle Carteris.
Yeah.
Still the same.
Nicest.
I think it would be Tori Spelling.
Oh.
Oh, I think we can all agree with that. Mm-hmm. Biggest flirt.
Yeah, all the boys. Oh my gosh.
But I think Ian was very flirty, but not in like a creepy way, just like in a fun way.
And Luke definitely made every female like feel really confident and good. It wasn't in a flirty sexual way, but he was just always complimentary of
very appreciative of women.
Yeah, of what you everything about you, and made you feel really good, like $1 million. Yeah.
Oh, that's so lovely. And then Ian did do Chippendales, I recall.
Jen went and saw that. Jen was there.
What's your review?
I got a lap dance. Yeah.
Ooh. You got a lap dance from Zirian at Chippendales?
I was going to kill him. I said, whatever you do, do not pull me up on stage. What does he do? Pulls me up on stage. Center stage with a chair and naked, half mostly naked, oily men all around me. I don't know. Bad.
All right. Drama king or queen?
I think the two people that had the most drama were probably myself and Shannon. We're both, you know, very passionate people. So drama comes from passion.
The Aries. Well, that is it for us. And we are so grateful.
Yeah, this was incredible, you guys.
Thank you. That was fun. You guys asked us some questions we've never been asked.
That's always the goal as a journalist.
Oh my gosh, that's the highest compliment you can get.
You guys, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Wow. Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth. What a dream. That was so much fun.
I have to say, I read Tori Spelling's book. Well, actually, I read two of Tori Spelling's books. I read both Storytelling and Celebratory. And I also read Deep Thoughts from Hollywood Blonde by Jenny Garth, by the way.
I can't believe you did not invite me to join that book club. That is a book club I would love to be a member of.
They both know how to dish.
Totally. And I love that they like dished with us.
And when they were talking about some of their favorite moments and scenes from the show, I got an idea. How would you feel about recreating one of my favorite all-time scenes from my favorite all-time episode of 90210? And here's the catch. We're going to do it right now. So this is the famous Donna Martin Graduates episode of Beverly Hills 90210 that we discussed earlier with Tori. So her character Donna passes out drunk at the prom and learns she won't be able to graduate with the crew. So this scene takes place after the hearing where Donna's fate was sealed. She calls up to the Peach Pit, talk to the gang, because everyone's always at the Peach Pit except for Donna. So now we're going to start by hearing from Nat after the phone rings, and Nat will be played by our executive producer, Kim. Brenda will be played by Andrea, and I, of course, will be playing the part of Donna.
Donna's on the phone. Who wants to take it?
I will. Donna, what happened?
I lost. They won't let me graduate with you guys. I've been suspended for 5 days.
Oh, Donna.
And then I can come back.
that I can't participate in graduation or any other senior activities.
I am so sorry.
And I have to go to summer school all the way to August. Then I can get my diploma. And then I have to go to... into a substance abuse program at the MAPE Center.
You? You don't have a drinking problem.
Maybe I do.
Donna, that is ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous.
I know, but my parents won't even appeal. My mother says I deserve it. Maybe I do. Brenda, it's not fair. I just want to get my diploma with you guys.
We're with you, Donna. Just hold it together, okay? End scene.
Wow.
Powerful.
It was powerful.
Yeah.
Actions have consequences, Andrea.
Yeah.
What's that?
Sounds like a revolution.
Oh, so.
No one the more about gel coat.
When the fourth round would...
Don't you call in the...
Don't touch that dial. That's right, we're still calling it a dial here, because it's Emmy season on The Awardist. With the dazzling Oscar season behind us, we are now turning our attention to smaller screens to track which shows are headed to the podium and which shows stopped us in our tracks. Join me, Jared Hall, Entertainment Weekly's executive editor, as well as EW's TV-obsessed staffers every Thursday starting April 4th as we share our opinionated hot takes and insight into the Emmys race. The Awardist will get behind the scenes with the creators and stars themselves during in-depth, can't-miss interviews. Follow the long road to the Emmys with The Awardist podcast Thursday starting April 4th on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to check out more Emmys coverage at EW.com/awardist.
Okay, Jason, on our last episode, you mentioned that you were going to go after Fabio as your dream guest for People in the 90s. And to quote you, you were going to go after Fabio hard.
Ah, that's right. I said it.
So I need an update. Where are we at? Do you think we're going to get him?
I mean, I didn't think anyone was going to take me seriously, but I'm going to go to a little website called celebrityservices.com, and I'm going to look up who his management is, and we are going to try and track down Fabio. So get ready.
I feel like as two magazine editors, we need to like make this a story and package it. So let's give it a headline. Let's give it a name.
Okay. All right. Like, so you're my editor. Let's see. Should we call it like... Is it Chasing Fabio? Is it Finding Fabio?
Finding Fabio. Alliteration usually is great, but
okay.
I like the chasing because it reminds me of Chasing Amy in the 90s, the Kevin Smith movie.
Ooh, solid.
But this time we're chasing Fabio.
Okay, Chasing Fabio it is. That's what we're going to call it. And you're going to be my Fabio editor to keep me accountable and on track. I know you can do this. This is what you do every day. You're going to do it here with Fabio.
Bring him to us.
Oh my God, Andrea, can we talk about Bob Ross for a second? There was a Bob Ross story in this issue.
Hi, you sort of caught me fiddling around here a little bit.
And like, okay, guys, for those of you who don't know who Bob Ross was, he was an American painter and an art instructor, but he's also a television host, and he created this show called The Joy of Painting. It was a total PBS show that aired from the mid-80s throughout the mid-90s. And of course, recently, thanks to Instagram and all things social media, he's become somewhat of a latter-day cult figure.
Pull it through the paint. Wiggling it. See? Wiggle it.
I just like every time I read a line of this article, I like want to cry. It's so unintentionally funny and earnest and just not what life is now or then, really. He says he paints a tiny tree on the canvas before him. The beauty of this is that you can't really make any big boobies.
We don't make mistakes.
Just happy accidents.
Let's paint several little happy trees.
And by his own estimation, Ross completed more than 30,000 paintings.
I mean, take that, Da Vinci. Can't hold a candle to Bob.
Be honest, I'm a nature freak. I love to walk through the woods and even talk to trees at times. Don't tell anybody that.
All
All right, Andrea, one last thing. Do you know what was so 90s? Actors with three names.
Do you mean like the Jennifer Love Hewitt three name thing?
That's exactly what I mean. Like Mary Louise Parker, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Jamie Lee Curtis, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Melissa Joan Hart, Sean William Scott, Sean Patrick Thomas, Tom Everett Scott, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Neil Patrick Harris, Sarah Jessica Parker, Robert Downey Jr.
I feel like you just won some kind of competition that doesn't exist and that nobody else was like participating in, but I still want to give you a medal. Wait, does a junior count, like Robert Downey Jr., Freddie Prinze Jr., do they count as a third name?
Given that I've completely made up this game and so I'm thereby enforcing made up rules, I'm going to say yes, it counts.
Okay. And you said Sarah Jessica Parker and Robert Downey Jr. I don't know if you intentionally put them back to back, but do you remember in the 90s when they were together?
I do. In fact, it was in this very issue, September 8th, 1991, we reported that SJP and RDJ had actually called it quits, but that was thanks to one JFK Jr. I mean, let that wash over you for a second. Sarah Jessica Parker and John F. Kennedy Jr.
So I'm like in a little Sex and the City moment. I can't help but wonder, what would those monogram towels look like?
But at the time, she was actually at Caesar's Palace filming Honeymoon in Vegas with Nicolas Cage. And we had a quote from a source, and this was the quote. It's not like Sarah and John, using first names, are about to become engaged, but yes, they are dating.
Wow.
And of course, JFK Jr., who died in 1999, would eventually move on from Sarah Jessica Parker to marry one of the most iconic of 90s beauties, who would join the canon of 90s three-peat nomenclature, Carolyn Bessette Kennedy.
Wow, that whole sentence, that's so 90s.
All right, well, thanks again to Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth for being our guests today, and perhaps even Andrea validating our careers as journalists.
Oh, that was so much fun. If 13-year-old Andrea knew that she'd be doing this someday, holy.
Let's not highlight our age difference.
I don't know what age I was.
People in the 90s is hosted by me, Jason Sheeler, and Andrea Laventhal. It's produced by Jason Sheeler and Chris Jacobs, executive produced by Kim Ritberg and David Flumenbaum, edited by Chris Jacobs, mastered by Erica Wong, and with production support by Persia Verlin, Matt Sav, and Rachel King at Pod People.
I'm Andrea Laventhal. Thanks so much for listening.
And I'm Jason Sheeler.